All right, so let's jump into talking about the school board meeting tonight. It's a regular meeting of the school board, which means it starts at 6 p.m. KFSK will be broadcasting the meeting for people to listen to. And if people want to comment during the meeting, they can do so by joining the Ring Central teleconference, correct?
Yes. Yep, they can. And the link is out there. And if anybody is having any issues, they can give us a call here at the district office, or just email Mara or myself, and we'll probably bump that again, just the link, if there's anybody out there that does want to, you know, call in directly, but otherwise they can hear it on the radio.
Okay, sounds good. Now, one of the things that's happening in tonight's meeting is a budget audit for the school district's budget for 2020. What do you expect to hear there?
Well, I just want to put a little, not a little, a lot of kudos out there to our amazing finance director, Karen Morrison. She is, as always, has done an amazing job keeping us on track, keeping us in line, and making sure we're following everything we need to be doing, and we're in really good financial shape. So I just want to publicly make sure I say that. The audit did go very smoothly. It was all remote this year, which, as with anything else, we learned some things, but it did go really well, and we were able to kind of upload and get things to them early, and then, you know, I think we actually ended up doing it in less time, which is something we're finding with multiple things, I think, right now. We'll be looking at carrying forward some of our fund balance at a higher level, which we knew in June. We had talked about that. The state is allowing us this year to have that 10% max, you know, not have to stay with that 10% max carryover. So we're able to do that due to COVID and all those things. And the reason we had that carryover is just we had received some money last year after getting reimbursements for some capital projects, which is something that we do through the state. And so we went ahead and just put that in the general fund so that we could, you know, have that available and we didn't have to just put it back into capital projects. Our food service program is still operating in the black, which is just amazing. And again, a shout out to Carly Johnson McIntosh for all of her work in our food service program. And then the only finding that we have is actually a carryover from last year, because we kind of missed the deadline on procurement rules, and there was a new pronouncement that came and didn't come in time for FY20. So it's been corrected, and that just has to do with the way that we go out for bid for some of our contracts for things through CERC, Southeast Regional Resource Center, for services that we don't have here locally, like educational psychology testing and that sort of thing for special services. So it was a clean audit, and kudos to Ms. Karen Morrison.
All right. Well, you mentioned food service, and I know we've reported on it in the past, but just a reminder to listeners, if they hadn't heard, that the food service is providing free breakfasts and lunches to students through December, at least at the grade school.
Yes, actually, that's district-wide. And I believe that actually the USDA just put out some guidance, I want to say yesterday or Friday, that is extending that past December 31st. So I did check in with Carly about that, and she said that they're waiting for additional specific guidance from the State of Alaska Department before they go forward. But that was really good news to hear. One less thing for people to navigate during this time, and it's been very successful. Second chance breakfast is the way they do it in the middle and high school. And kids are eating breakfast and lunch in the classroom at the elementary, most of the grades, and it's going really well. Our crew has adjusted, as always, really well to what keeps coming at them. So they managed to keep creating really good and creative meals for our kids. So that was some good news.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal for families out there, getting their kids free food.
Absolutely.
So, you know, speaking of the budget, how does it look this year? Because that audit is for 2020. And then looking forward to this year, has enrollment changes affected the budget at all at the school district? I know there are some students being homeschooled this year, and how does that affect the school's budget?
So we are in the month where we are doing the official count for the state of Alaska, and that starts the beginning of August and ends the final Friday of October every year, so that's the 30th this year. And at this point, yes, you are correct. We do, I think overall, we're down about 35 kids, I think is where we've ended up. And some of those are homeschooling. Most of them are homeschooling. A few moved, and then we do have some that are currently still enrolled with us and doing distance ed or virtual. So we have kids that are, especially in the secondary, that are actually still kind of coming in remotely from home. They've made that decision with their families, and we're working with that. Works pretty well in the secondary world, middle and high school. Definitely more challenging in the elementary. So Miss Rachel Etcher has been doing quite a bit of work there, trying to just coordinate that. It's challenging, you know, when you're trying to do sort of remote virtual things with kids that are 5 and 6 and 7 years old. It requires a lot of effort, you know, on the part of the parents too. So people are working pretty hard there. Our numbers right now, I mean, we've been, again, so fortunate to receive the CARES Act funding that we requested from the borough in August, and we've been able to maximize that funding to the best of our ability this fall. Again, that's something that also sunsets December 31st, which is always a little challenging for a school because that's the middle of our year. It might work for other businesses, but, you know, we're still only halfway through. So we took a bit of a leap of faith there in hiring some of our new teachers that we did hire at the elementary and middle school to help create those smaller groups. And we've hired some amazing new people. They've just jumped in with both feet and become a great part of our staff. So we've been really fortunate there. But we did plunge into that knowing that the funding from the CARES Act would be, you know, ending on December 31st. So we've tried to adjust some of the salaries and things there. We also had received funding to potentially hire additional support staff, and we've actually had trouble, you know, hiring people. So we have not had as many applicants as we thought we would, and so some of the CARES Act funding is actually it's been challenging because we haven't had as many people apply. So we still have some time for that, and we still have some things posted out there. And of course, if we don't end up using all of the CARES Act funding, we would clearly take that back to the borough so that it could be spent in the community. So
for the students that are enrolled at the school district, like there's the students who might be homeschooling outside of the district where they're not, you know, using the district programs. And then you mentioned students who are attending school remotely. Does the school district get the same amount of money for all those students, like if they're actually in class or if they're attending remotely?
This year, yes, we do. So they've allowed that, or they've made that allowance as long as we can show that students are, you know, we're able to show that they're attending our classes, which we do have the technology. That's another big use that we had, you know, a big part of our infrastructure already in our district. But then again, looking at that additional CARES Act funding to provide good, you know, speaker systems and microphone systems so that the kids that are in the classroom can really interact with the students that are at home. And we're really working on trying to have that be, you know, good interaction, not just online in the sort of RingCentral Zoom world, but also that the kids can, you know, really participate well in discussions, class discussions and that sort of thing. They can actually hear each other. So we're really working on that. And it's been successful. I mean, the kids, you know, there's glitches here and there or somebody loses a connection or whatever, but our attendance has been really incredible, and that is a tribute to our kids and the work that our teachers have done to connect, and, you know, parents helping us support that too and reminding their kids what they need to do. And so we are able to count them as being part of our school district. So that's worked out really well. And then some families, especially at the elementary level, that did make the decision to enroll, like with IDEA or Galena or Raven or something, they kind of start the year in a program like that typically, and then, you know, they'll typically finish the year because this is kind of the time they really need to make that decision. And we have had a few students that have made the decision to come back to the school. They felt comfortable with how things were going, and so we've had a few students that have made the decision to kind of not do the homeschool program per se and go ahead and come back to the district. So that's been great. and then some families that have just made the decision that it works better for them, you know, to homeschool. And again, no judgment. That's, we understand out there. So
of the 35 students that you mentioned, that's not 35, that's not income from 35 students that the school district is losing.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Just wanted to clarify that. On another subject that the school board will be kind of talking about tonight is the replacement of a water heater at the grade school. You know, I don't know how exciting that sounds, but I'm sure it's a lot of money. do you know how much that might cost? In the news, I had it that it was, I think from 1981, the water heater at the elementary.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The system itself is sort of more that, you know, kind of the original system. And then as part of our typical, you know, kind of maintenance and prevention, process that we go through with the state as well. And then just within our own local district. It's been on the radar, for actually about 3 to 5 years, I would say. And that's been something that, you know, it kind of has cropped up. And even the last few years that I know Rance McIntosh has been in it a few times and, for various repairs, and there's a lot of pitting in there. So the tank itself is very damaged. And then once you, you know, have to start jumping in and repairing and replacing, then of course you have to do all of it. You know, you have to do the DVC controls, and, you know, it always turns, as with every one of these things, you know, turns into something bigger. So it's a price tag of about $88,000. And, so we would be looking at the capital funds that we have in our capital budget. We do have the funding for it, and it just is one of those things, like you say, it's not always that interesting, but it's one of those things, if it fails, we're going to be in trouble. You know, we won't have hot water and heat and all those things. So it's very important, and rather than waiting for it to fail, it's just time to put it out there. So Ralph will be there tonight to talk to the board a little more detail if they have any more questions, and we'll be replacing one tank actually with two. Two smaller tanks is kind of the recommended way to do it now. So, and then of course, just as with any of these, there's quite a bit of money for the work that has to be done. So, but it's time.
Okay. And you mentioned Rance McIntosh. He's one of the maintenance guys. There's two of them that are resigning. But it sounds like the school district has one replacement at least already.
Yes, we do, and Eric Hoff has made a decision to move on about a month ago, or maybe 3 weeks ago now. Can't keep my mind straight. And then, of course, Rance has been working in the district for multiple years as the kind of the assistant director and maintenance technician. Local boy, grew up here, and so he leaves some big shoes to fill. I believe he's moving on to a job actually, maybe at the borough. So we're really sad to lose him, and hoping we'll find a suitable replacement to try to step in and, like I say, fill his shoes. He's leaving some big shoes, so
yeah.
We wish him well, of course.
And then there's a new secretary at the high school. I'm not sure when that transfer happened.
Yes, so Erica Thompson has been an aide for us for a few years, and she, when Miss Carly Beyer decided when their family moved, Erica put in for a transfer and went through the process there and was interested in looking at that job and brings some good skills from some other positions that she's held in the community. She's kind of got some business background and some other training and some secretarial positions. So she brought some good experience there, and of course has been working in the school as a paraprofessional. So, you know, knows the students and knows the staff. And that is always a nice way to, you know, transition into a big job. Like the secretary of the high school, so that's a big job in the high school. So she's been on the job for a few weeks, and she's doing great. We're happy to have her there.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I figured that was a pretty big job for sure. Now, something interesting, it kind of tickled me to see it on the agenda because I feel like it's the start of the school year, but then I'm sure the senior class is already clearly thinking about graduation because there looks like advisors for the class of the senior class, they're recommending a specific date for graduation ceremony, May 24th?
Yes, it had come up because this year, typically the last, I don't know, quite a few years, I shouldn't say specifically, but it's been quite a few years, that the way the calendar has been the last week of school has been traditionally that last week after Memorial Day. And so the graduation has been held on the Tuesday night right after Memorial weekend, and that's been nice for families who might be traveling to town and, you know, that sort of thing. It works out well, and it also gives them a little, you know, the seniors are graduating a few days before everybody else is done, which is allowable. So this year, the calendar, actually, school is out right before Memorial weekend this year. So there was some conversation about when to do it and what that might look like, and whether a weekend might be better or maybe a Monday night. So that's the date that we've landed on, and hopefully does still allow, if, you know, depending on what it looks like, who knows, in the spring. But, you know, if people are traveling to town, it gives them that little bit of a buffer to get here. So families have told us in the past that they appreciate, you know, having that opportunity. So, yep, the seniors are ready
planning
for that.
Planning ahead. Yeah. All right, well, let's see. Tonight also, there's going to be some updates from the principals and the athletics director. And I'm sure that, you know, this being a kind of different kind of year, there are going to be updates. There's things happening, changing all the time.
Yes, there are definitely things changing all the time. We wanted to, I think both principals wanted to give, you know, kind of an update on just the schedule, how it's going. You know, we're in our third week of our kind of green schedule where we're doing all in person. And so they're wanting to talk through that. Definitely wanted to give some updates and answer any questions about, especially looking at the block schedule, the 4-period day modified schedule in the high school. There was definitely some, you know, concern expressed about that early on by the board and some families. So wanting to just kind of keep that conversation going, you know, with the board and publicly, and making sure if there's anybody out there that has questions or concerns, just to be checking in with us. It's interesting. You know, we're going along and things feel really good right now. And you know, we're always appreciative to what people are doing in the community to help us, you know, maintain this. Everything we do outside of school helps us stay, you know, in school. So, and then activities. Yeah, that'll be interesting. This fall and winter are going to be challenging, I think, for some of the activities as they move indoors. That's what we're hearing from, you know, the medical professionals at the state level and other school districts, you know, we're all kind of struggling to figure out the best way to do these things. So far, we've had really good luck. Swimming's been successful, and cross country was successful, and we're in volleyball. It's very modified, but kids are certainly happy to be active and practicing. So we feel like we're winning on that, you know, at this point. And they were able to even have a little scrimmage with Wrangell and a swim meet with Wrangell this last Saturday. And they were in and out quickly, out to Banana Point and back over. But went well. Everybody had a great attitude, followed the protocols, and, you know, kids were happy. So
yeah, I was at the radio station, which is located right by the school district, on Saturday, handing out merchandise from our pledge drive. And several high schoolers, you know, were parking along the road getting ready for that game. And you could just feel the energy in the street. They were really excited, I think, about,
yeah,
competing.
Absolutely. I think every one of those opportunities, you know, like I said, even the cross-country meet, the regional cross-country meet, huge shout-out, of course, to Jamie Cabral and all of his work in coordinating these efforts. It's been a massive undertaking, and, you know, all the coordination that went into that. And the kids were just thrilled. They were so appreciative too. And, you know, they're out there running their hearts out at Greens Camp, and they were just great attitudes. So, you know, I think the kids are approaching these things with the right, the right attitude. That's what I would say. They're appreciative. They're grateful. They're happy to participate to the level they can. And it's good energy. Positive energy.
Yeah, it's nice that the school district here has other schools, at least at this time, that can participate in activities safely, like you mentioned Wrangell. But certainly in statewide news, and I'm sure you as a superintendent are in regular communication with school districts in other areas, and we've definitely had a lot of news stories about other schools closing down in the last few weeks.
Yes, that uncertainty and disruption, I think, is the biggest thing that we've been concerned about all the way through this. And I've talked quite a bit about that, and I know that's a big conversation in the schools themselves with teaching staff and administrators and families too, you know, that we really, the goal really is to keep this consistent, you know, schedule as much and as long as possible. And, you know, we know there's, you know, it's not if, it's when. There will be, you know, we will have a case, we will have a student, we will have a teacher, a staff member. So it's going to happen. I mean, there's just, I don't see any way around it. And kind of expecting that at some point and then responding and reacting to it. But, you know, just trying to keep that, this schedule as consistent as possible is, and that's what the kids are telling us too, you know, that just knowing how things are going to go and having something that's fairly dependable makes a huge difference. I mean, I can say that as a parent with my high school kid. She's happier being here all the time, and she knows what her day looks like. And there's a lot of value in that when things around us are kind of scattered and crazy and chaotic. And, you know, it feels like school right now, which is really nice.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. It looks like we have Sarah Holmgreen joining us. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, sorry I am so late.
That's okay. We're still talking about the meeting tonight. Is there anything specifically that you'd like to add?
Oh, well, I guess probably not really. I'm looking forward, of course, to the updates, and I think Erica already, I was able to hear her on my car ride from my appointment when I was behind schedule, but talking a little bit about just getting an update. Mostly, I think the bigger concerns were, or just desires to hear an update from the high school on how their schedule is going. It seems like, at least for my middle school and my grade school, cooler things have been going quite well, and they're really happy to be in class. And I will actually put a plug in that for some of the community members that maybe remember my younger sister, Rachel. She and her husband and two kids are here, at least for the semester, you know, from the school starts through December, and came up from Oregon. Their jobs allowed them to work remotely, but they specifically came because their kids could be face-to-face instruction versus they're fully online in their district with no face-to-face instruction. So we love having them here, but I also think just a realization for, you know, we feel like sometimes we're in a bubble in Petersburg, and we are kind of in a bubble where we're able to do that face-to-face instruction, but a lot of the United States is not, and so kids are having a harder time than our kids, and I think sometimes we need to remember that, how fortunate we are that our kids are able to do that in this bizarre time we're all living in.
Yeah.
I guess that was more of a statement than anything. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Actually, it just fit right in with what Erica and I were talking about, which is, you know, other schools in the state closing down, and certainly many of them just full distance or distance only learning because of cases in the communities, COVID cases. So, yeah, that's what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Anything else that might be of interest to the public about tonight's meeting that we haven't covered?
I don't think so, other than just, you know, I know you guys did a story on the Blue Ribbon School Award, but just another plug for that, for Mitkoff Middle School winning that national award, and one of two schools in the state of Alaska. So that's exciting, and the celebration of that will look a little different than it did a few years ago when the elementary won, because we were able to send a representative actually to Washington, D.C., and they clearly won't be doing that this year. So, but apparently there's some sort of a virtual ceremony that's happening in November. So we'll keep everybody posted on that. And just huge shout out to all of our staff and families, administrators for all the continued hard work over the years. That's how you get there. So it doesn't just happen overnight. So
yeah, and that recognition makes it where all three Petersburg schools have been recognized with that exact national award, right?
That's right. Yes, we were, Joe actually helped us revisit win the high school won it, which was I think in the 80s, which was, I actually didn't realize that the award went all the way back then. So that was pretty,
It was 86. I don't know why I remember that, but.
Awesome.
Probably because I was a freshman or something like that. I don't know.
That's right.
That's what happened.
And Sarah, do you have anything to add about tonight's meeting or otherwise?
I think we've, you know, the school year has gone so far pretty good, all things considered, and we're certainly appreciative of the parents and students that have kind of worked with us and you know, despite maybe it not being ideal or exactly how they saw, you know, envisioned it, but we'll just keep trying to make adjustments, and feedback is always welcome. So, yeah, and hopefully people will be able to listen in tonight, and if they want to participate, they can get a hold of Mara at the district office.
Okay. So. Well, thank you both for joining today for Campus Connection. As we've said, tonight is a regular meeting of the Petersburg School Board. The meeting will be at 6 p.m. over Ring Central video conferencing. You can listen to the meeting on KFSK by streaming it on our website, kfsk.org. There is a Listen Live button at the top of the homepage. To comment in the meeting, you can call into the video conference, and we have links to that on our website. You can also, like Sarah just said, call or email the district office before the meeting to get the information for getting on the Ring Central call. Well, we'll hear what you're going to be talking about at the meeting tonight, starting at 6 p.m.
Sounds good. Thanks, Angela.
Yep. Thank you.
Angela.
Take care.